More than 30,000 people will run the Berlin Marathon Sunday morning. Only a tiny fraction of them will run it very fast, and even a smaller fraction will come close to that magical barrier for male runners in the 26.2-mile race. That barrier is the two-hour mark. I mean, 2 hours, just think about it. That translates to running each mile of the marathon in about 4.5 minutes. Not just the beginning or the end, but the entire 26.2 miles, 4.5 minutes per mile. Well, that barrier is the subject of Ed Caesar's book, 2 Hours, The Quest to Run the Impossible Marathon, and it comes out in paperback next month. As part of his research for the book, Caesar lived and trained with some of the world's best runners in Kenya. And when we spoke last fall, I asked him to describe what that was like.
Well, I want to put this in a little bit of context for you. I'm a 6'5", 240-pound lumbering person. And so I did train with them, but I mean, they were running as slowly as they could. And they were doing it more to humor me than to get any kind of athletic advantage over me.
I'm asking because obviously, like, we're based here in Boston. And so every year when I watch the runners for the Boston Marathon, I sort of camp out roughly at mile 24. And even there, when the elite runners go by, it seems as if, I mean, they are doing what to me would be an all-out sprint, and they're nearing the end of a 26.2-mile marathon. So I was hoping you could give us a picture of what that's like.
It's so astonishing to watch up close. And often when I was watching the top guys train out in their mountain bases, I would go on a motorbike. And sometimes when they were doing their speed training, I couldn't get the motorbike to go fast enough to keep up with them. It was such a pleasure to really be with that level of athlete and just to see how they live. They live in these very humble circumstances in training camps in Kenya. Even if they're very rich, they wash out of a bucket. They eat the same food they've always eaten. You're talking about a group of guys that are so committed to living frugally and humbly and working as hard as they can. And the fruits of that are what you see, this kind of apparently effortless, beautiful motion that you see at mile 24 in the Boston Marathon. All this effortlessness comes at this huge cost. They run 125 miles a week in training. I mean, it's ridiculous to think about how hard it is that they work to get to that level.
Well, Ed, let's take a step back here and put some context around this conversation, because the current world record for the marathon is held by Dennis Kimeto, and he's run it in 2 hours, 2 minutes and 50-something seconds?
That's right.
Okay, so 202, and we're talking about a two-hour marathon, and the subtitle of your book is The Quest to Run the Impossible Marathon. I mean, is it truly that difficult to shave another 2 minutes off?
The short answer to that is yes. They've got to make a 2.5% improvement on what they're doing already, and they're very close to the limits of physiology as they are. I think it can be done eventually, and that comes from reading the scientific papers that say that physiologically we should be capable of running a sub-2 marathon, but I think it's going to take us a little while.
Right. How did we get to this point? Because, I mean, it wasn't that long ago in human history when we broke the first 4-minute single mile, and now we're talking about, you know, a 4.5-minute mile pace for, you know, an entire length of a marathon.
Well, what's happened, it became professional. You know, in the 70s and 80s, money started to be paid to top guys to enter the marathon. And in the 90s and, you know, the early 2000s, that really attracted the greatest talent pool of distance running in the world, which is from East Africa. And those guys have driven the sport onwards at such a fast rate.
Well, let's talk for a moment about one of the people who's really at the center of your book, and he's a giant in the world of running, Jeffrey Mutai, a Kenyan runner. You know, tell us about where he's from and how he became, you know, to be such a huge name in the world of running.
Jeffrey Mutai, in 2011, he ran 2:03:02 at the Boston Marathon, which was then the fastest marathon ever run. Later that year, he then broke the New York course record by nearly 3 minutes. And those two performances transformed the sport of marathon running. Suddenly, anything seemed possible because of what this guy, Jeffrey Mutai, did. And if you knew where he came from, you would feel even more astonished. You know, he grew up in a very difficult family background in a village called Equator in Kenya, which is actually just sits just below the equator line. He broke rocks as a teenager to make money for his siblings to go to school. He cut down trees for the power company. in Kenya. And he didn't become a professional runner until his mid-20s. And from that point on, he had this astonishing career. And he's at the center of my book, not just because he's an astonishing athlete, but he is a beautiful, reflective soul. He thinks about running in a very interesting way.
Well, what did he tell you about how he views what running is and how it factors into his life?
One of the really gorgeous things that he told me about running was that if he's done the right training for a marathon, he gets what he calls the spirit, which is this kind of easiness in a race. And he tried to explain to me what the spirit was. Late in a race, which he's winning and he's feeling light as air, he doesn't feel the pain as much as he might do. And it's this feeling of total ease. And all his training is about trying to attain that kind of almost nirvana-like state of the spirit. And I think a lot of the Kenyans really do feel like that about running. You know, it isn't just what they do for a living. It's kind of a way to express themselves. It's not just a sport in Kenya.
Before we spend the last part of our conversation talking about what a two-hour marathon would actually look like, I want to just step way back in history, because you tell a delightful story in the book about the circumstances under which the sport of marathon running really took off in the United States. And I'm not talking about in the 1970s, but way back in the early 20th century in Madison Square Garden in New York. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, there was an astonishing moment in athletic history. After the 1908 London Olympics, there was a very, very dramatic marathon race where an Italian guy called Dorando Pietri collapsed in the stadium in sight of victory. And the winner ended up being a guy called Johnny Hayes, because Dorando Pietri received assistance from the officials as he crossed the finishing line. And so those two guys realized that they had a commercial opportunity for a rematch. And they came to Madison Square Garden and they raced a rematch inside, 262 laps. And they raced each other around Madison Square Garden. And it was a sellout. And there was almost a riot at the end, because fans for Dorando, you know, were running against the fans for Johnny Hayes. And it was complete pandemonium. You know, the cigar smoke, there's brass bands playing, there's a riot. And somehow these guys running around this track 262 times in the middle. And that moment sparked something called Marathon Mania. For 2 years, everyone wanted to see, you know, people running against each other over this London distance of 26 miles and 385 yards. And that, more than anything, is why we run 26 miles and 385 yards.
And thank goodness we don't run it inside Madison Square Garden nonstop anymore. So here we are, more than a century later. If indeed someone said, I want to do this, I want to try to run the two-hour marathon, what would that actually look like? Could an individual achieve that?
No, I think it would have to be a team of guys who are the best in the world, who were all remunerated in the same way if one of them broke the record. And you need all the conditions to be perfect. So very cold, because marathon runners get extremely hot, windless. In those circumstances, perhaps in a few years, we might see a few more tilts at the barrier.
But when this does happen, obviously it will be an enormous triumph, an enormous scientific, a physical triumph as well. But would it mean something bigger in addition to that?
Well, at one level, it means nothing. 26 miles and 385 yards is an almost entirely arbitrary distance. But on another level, it means a huge amount. You know, the marathon is not just a distance. It's become a metaphor for endurance. Packed into that word marathon are all these ideas about pushing yourself through boundaries and, you know, overcoming obstacles. And I think for people who run 5 hours in a marathon and for people who run 2 hours and 3 minutes in a marathon, it's the same. You know, you just want to get to the end and you have to dig very deep to do that. And so this great barrier exists at the moment, which many people think is impossible. For someone to actually overcome it, would, I think, give us a sense of, anything is possible. It's about what the mind can achieve over the limits of the body.
Ed Caesar's book is 2 Hours, The Quest to Run the Impossible Marathon. It comes out in paperback next month.